What would you think? What would you think if I told you, as I travel around as a preacher, I am an itinerant preacher. I really am. I don't use a mule or a horse. I use a van. And I go all around. What do you think if I told you as I went around, I came across a church that claimed to be evangelical. They believe in the Bible. They believe in Jesus Christ as the only way to heaven. Their doctrinal statement right there in the bulletin is right on. I came across a God-fearing or claiming to be God-fearing, believing in Christ, believers in Christ church, but that most... And by the way, we're out there singing in there, got the hands up and, you know, the whole thing. And, I mean, we're just rocking. But that most of the folks in that church regularly are involved in immorality, sexual immorality. What kind of church would you think that would be? What would you think if I told you that I've run across a church that... singing, holy, 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 I want to be holy, I want to be set apart. Fill me with your spirit, Lord. Lord, I want to be consecrated unto thy work. Singing the songs, giving 14% to missions. That a bunch of those people in that church, in fact, most, regularly go and watch people undress and engage in various acts of immorality. And not only do they go, but they go together. The same people who are sitting in the pew together go together to watch the show. What'd you think of that? What would you think if I told you that many and probably most of the people listening to me right now do the same thing? In the next 35 minutes plus another class, I'm going to pour out my heart to you. I'm coming to you as a prophet of the living God, 1997. I've got the word of God behind me. I'm speaking in the name of the Lord, and I'm speaking to God's people. So, as I told the guest here today, fasten your seatbelts, and we're going to be going places. I am convinced that Satan somehow has a hold on Christians. I don't know how. I don't know how it works. How does Satan have a hold on Christians? I don't know. But I'm convinced that this sin is so pervasive and so insidious and so disgusting, and God's people refuse to acknowledge it, that somehow Satan's got us. I don't know how. We read about how Israel of old, ancient Israel, worshipped God on the Sabbath, did the whole shebang. And had the offerings, and had the sacrifices, and had the priests, and had the high priest, and had the priest that led worship. Had everything according to Hoyle. But they allowed images of Baal and other gods to be put up on the high places. And they even had little Baal in their houses. And the prophets of God came in the name of the Lord, sent by the Lord. Remember how we talked about just why the resurrection was so important, and how they killed. God loved the people so much that he sent prophets to the people that he raised up to save humanity. And they said, kill the prophets, stone the prophets. He sent prophets to say, take those images down. Get those little Baals out of your house. You're worshiping other gods. The Lord says, you're an adulterer. And I fill in the blanks and imagine that what the Jewish person would say to the Jewish prophet person and say, so what's the big deal with the little Baal? I rub its head for good luck. I know it's nothing. I just want to be like everybody else. It's cool. And we read about that and wonder, how on earth could the Jews expect to pull that stuff off and get God's blessing? What kind of mule-headed people were they to think they could pull that stuff off? Baal, whoever else, involved in with what other what the other people of the other nations were doing and think they're going to get the blessing of God. But they didn't. And it was insane. And yet today, the church of our Lord Jesus Christ is bringing sexual immorality. And in effect, the worshiping of another God right into our culture, right into our homes, and somehow we have become blind or hardened to our sin. And so I come in the name of the Lord. And you know, everybody's wondering, everybody's asking, has he talked about movies and television yet? And here we go. It's movies and television time. Now, I've been around the block more times than I can count. I've been in churches, I've been in this classroom, I've been all over the place. I have been slapped, I've been slammed, I've been fussed at, I've been cussed at. Not all of you are going to like what I have to say. But I love you. And I'm saying it because I love you. And I want to love you. I'm not going to judge your head, I'm going to judge your heart. So I realize as you listen to me, you're going to have a bunch of different responses. Depending on who you are, some of you will repent. Some of you will be very angry. Some of you will be extremely irritable. It's going to be very hard for you to keep your legs from just shaking all over the place and crush your legs. Some of you are going to be in denial, statistically speaking. And there's going to be a lot of justification for what you do. And you're incredibly sophisticated as professional Christians. But as my hope and prayer, I'm all prayed up for this, folks. So I don't know what's going to happen, but I know I'm prayed up. It's my hope and prayer that all of these reactions will give way to godly knowledge. And godly knowledge because you have a heart after God. And you pant after God like a thirsty deer pants after water brook. That your godly knowledge will give way to godly understanding. Open up, and your godly understanding will give way to conviction. And praise God, I hope and pray that your conviction will give way to repentance. Because conviction without repentance ain't worth squat. So let's consider some of the scriptures that God has given us so that we may walk worthy, as it says in Colossians, of being a son or daughter of the living God. I have it on the overhead. Colossians 3, 1 through 5. We're going to start there. Now, I used to do this in one class. When you hear all I got to say, you say, how did a guy do it in one class? I don't know. All right. Colossians 3, 1 through 5 says, if then you've been raised with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also be revealed with him in glory. Therefore, consider the members of your earthly body as dead to immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which amounts to idolatry. I'm going to mark everybody present today, because I forgot to give those out. So you ain't got nothing. God says, put to death the things that are earthly. That set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. Because you're in Christ. And you know what I said about being in Christ? I tell you, I don't know if I said it or not. Maybe you can't remember. There's nothing you remember. But all I know is that right now, in Christ means to me, you know, that Christ is in me. I'm in Christ. I got the power of the Lord here on earth. And I am in Christ, I'm forgiven, and that's cool. And that's why I live, I'm in Christ. I'm identified with Christ in his death and his resurrection. But you know, when I die and I'm standing before the living God, I am going to make sure I am in Christ. And not one little itty bitty hair is sticking out. Because anything that's sticking out, anything that's not in Christ, I'm going to be under the judgment of the living God. But when God looks at me, you know what he sees? He's Christ. When God looks at me, you know how he loves me? Like he loves Christ. You know how he loves Christ? Can you imagine how he loves Christ? When he looks at me, he loves me. Because, like he loves Christ. Because I am in Christ. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you appear with him in glory. Put to death the things of the earth. seek the things that are above. But when it comes to movies and television, folks, the people of God say, no. No. How can this be? How can Christians, how can we do what we do and expect God to bless us as individuals, as families, as a church, as the church? I don't know if you're going to have to go back to Corinth to find people like us who claim to be believers. We're believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're disciples. We're followers. We'd never worship anything else or anybody else, would we? I'm afraid our actions speak louder than our words. How many of us go to movies or watch TV or rent videos where the name of our God, God Himself, is casually blasphemed? Where coarse language, crude language, gross language is spoken for your entertainment? Where people literally take their clothes off or have someone else take their clothes off for them for your entertainment? Where people touch each other's bodies, they take their clothes off and they touch each other's bodies to the blasphemy of God's word and God Himself. And we watch, and we watch, and we watch. We do worse than that. We pay to watch. We do worse than that. We pay enough so they can do it again. All the while, of course, doing the Christian mutter. M-U-T-T-E-R. Everybody's got to do the Christian mutter. You know the Christian mutter? Here it comes, you know, you're watching it, and all of a sudden, God and damn and Jesus and there go the clothes. And the Christian mutter is, oh, how unnecessary that scene was. Would have been a good movie. They didn't have to put that in there. That makes everything all right, right? And we lost our minds? Mm-hmm. Are we selling our souls to the devil? Mm-hmm. Giving it away. We're giving it away. Can you imagine what God sees when He looks at you looking and paying for it? What on earth do we think we're doing? You think God is looking down, giving you a little wink? Like, that's cool. I know you're cool. And you look up and give Him a little wink. And you say, yeah, you're cool. I'm cool. Everybody's cool. That's how Christians act. Trying to get that blockbuster video out of their hands is like, I'm telling you. And you paid for it. Surely we know, do we still know that we're sinning? Sinning when we do this. In the Old Testament times, and into the times of the early church, this is all true, the gods of the nations were worshipped through sexual immorality. It was virtually almost always true. Sexual immorality was almost always involved in the worshiping of other gods. They captured people's souls. They captured people's souls through the sexual experiences of the body. That's how Satan works. Wake up. They had temple prostitutes, temple sodomites, AC/DC. Which way you want me to put switch? The burning of children. Gross. The burning of children on an altar. Gross. Immorality. And everybody go, whatever they're doing. Burning the children. Put it on the altar. But we Christians of this century, would never consider doing such stuff, right? Wrong. Abortion. Today's not on abortion. Just a little check-in. Abortion. The murdering of babies goes on by the millions in this country. I think you can add up all the babies killed in all of time. And they can't equal what we've done since 1973, probably in America alone. But the kick is, and I'm not knocking any denomination now, but there are Methodist denominations, there are Presbyterian denominations, there are Baptist denominations, there are Baptist hospitals. People who claim the blood of Christ, who endorse the tearing of babies limb from limb, burn their brains out without batting an eye. But that's not today. homosexual. Practice in ancient times. Christians would never be involved in that, right? Wrong. Look, I'm not talking about tendencies or propensities. I'm talking about action. And people who claim the blood of Christ, I've got friends that I've been trying to, who are in my wedding, and I've got and who have gone on over. And the girls are having sex with girls, and the boys are having sex with boys. And I'm reaching out to them, I'm saying, Galatians 5, Ephesians 5, 1 Corinthians 6, come back before it's too late. Don't be deceived, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Come back. And they say, wow, I go to church every Sunday. They accept me. Churches that have names like Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, even Mennonite. Not only will they do that, but they'll ordain them to the gospel ministry. We're sophisticated, folks. We're gross. We're sinners. We better be in Christ. But that's not today. Today is sex, immorality, sexual immorality. Now, the temple is now the screen. The temple's now a screen. I'm going to find a guy to sit next to. I told you I was going to get you. I told you I was going to get you. I told you not to sit up front today. All right? We've got a way of doing things, we Christians. Alty, will you move over one, please? Thank you. I'm sitting next to Alty, my good friend, who I... every Sunday. We sing Holy, Holy, Holy and stuff like that together. Oh, I wish they'd start this movie, Alty. I got something to do after this. Here we go. Anyway, Alty and I have gone to movies now, as you can see. And, you see, we're watching the new temple. We're watching... And the temple's not a screen. And we're watching this thing. And, well, Alty and I are good Christian folks. A couple Christian guys just kind of hanging out, trying to be cool. You know, we're good people. And check it out. All of a sudden, we're watching the screen. And, you know, we knew it was coming. I mean, good night. It was a PG-13 movie. We knew it was coming. And look at that. Man, she is one good-looking woman. Whoa. And, yeah, I know. I'm married. You know, and... You think they're going to... I'm just thinking in my mind now. You think they're going to do it? Yeah, they're going to do it. Oh, man, they're going to do it. They are doing it. Now, excuse me, folks. I'm a 50-year-old man, but I'm a man. And I'm going to tell you, that woman starts taking her clothes off, and I get sexually involved. Them's the facts. And I'm going to tell you, the only breasts I want to see are my wife. I don't want to see hers. I'm not supposed to. And when I go to bed with my wife, I want to go to bed with my wife. I don't want to go to bed with her. And you know, but we all have the rules. We're so sophisticated as Christians. Now, the one thing I can't do to Alty, you know what I can't do to Alty? I'm not allowed. It's so gross. When it's happening, see, Alty's having a sexual experience himself. But the one thing I'm not allowed to do is look at Alty's face now, aren't I? Aren't I? I mean, can you imagine when that's happening? I look in your eyes. And say, what you think, Alty? And I said, don't stop looking at me. Stop looking at me. Because, see, Alty's also a man, and Alty's having a sexual experience. He can deny it. He can lie about it. He can say he ain't, but he is. And I don't know how many women I talk to or have spoken to can no longer enjoy having sex with their husband because he doesn't look like that and he's not as sensitive as him. And I've got frigid women, and I've got all kinds of people I talk to. But that's only the result of sin. I'm not here to say, hey, look, you don't want to be happy with your husband. That's not what I'm here for. I'm here saying that we go and watch. We are just like the heathen of old who were involved in sexual immorality at the temple. We took our clothes off. They took their clothes off and had sex. We're too sophisticated. We keep our clothes on and have sex. Now, let me ask you guys. You think, all right, a lot of reactions now, folks. I know. I'm a man of God. Now, folks, let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask you a question that I think the answer, today's answer, will not be the answer 10 years from now. Maybe not even 5. But I ask you a question. the things that you do, but the things you watch at, the things you look at, the things you watch in the movie. If you sat down here where Mary Heath is sitting, well, it doesn't matter if you sat here where Alvin's sitting, where Jane is sitting, would you go and watch the same things live? Would you? If you wouldn't watch them live, why on earth are you watching a recording of the live event? The hypocrisy of it all. You think it's Etch-a-Sketch? We pay to have people sing for our entertainment. Now, I've heard so many Christians say, "Oh, Mr. Germain," or something else, that they can go and watch movies and videos that contain sex and blasphemy and all kinds of grossness, and it doesn't affect them. I'm sorry it affects you, Mr. Germain. You must have a very weak mind. I'm sorry it affects you, but it doesn't affect me. So, you know, what's good for you, what's not good for you, is okay for me. Now, if that's not the most insane stuff I've ever heard. As a matter of fact, let me tell you, about 6-7 years ago, maybe it was more, I don't know, when I was working here, just about to become the dean of students, a gazillion, or at least 20-plus people, who worked here told me I just had to go see a movie. And I said, "Really? Great. I mean, you know, I'm sick of seeing Bambi Strikes Back and things like that, you know." And I mean, I was so excited it wasn't a cartoon. And so I went to see this movie. Faculty people here. Staff people here. Way over 20 people here. And I went with my wife. And there was a man and woman who worked here and their kids. I said, "Oh, look who's here." "Oh, really? Well, that's a great movie. It's worth getting out." Anyway, the movie was Dances with Wolves. And I failed you back then because I should have got up early and got out, and I didn't. I stink. And so, you know, my wife and I had the pleasure of watching and looking at Kevin Costner's butt. It was real pleasure. And I got aroused by looking at some woman, Indian supposedly, doing her thing and with Kevin Costner. I said, "Wow." And that was just wonderful. And all that kind of, and I heard God's name just taken up and down and all around like I ain't never heard anything. And I stayed at a whole stupid movie. And when the lights went on, I was humiliated. I felt I was naked there. And I was before God. And I came back and I raised heck here. And I said, "How could you?" I called a special faculty meeting and said, "How could you? It's not only against the standard." I said, "I have failed. I didn't even do what I was supposed to do to check out the movie. I failed. And I didn't leave like I was supposed to. I failed. I confess before you and before God, I failed. And now I've done this. Now will you confess before me? How could you have done this to me? What about the curses, Bob? What about the nudity, Bill and Mary and blah, blah, blah?" I said, "All I heard was about the great cinematography and the great story about how the Indians got ripped off. And I heard about the great, you know, Academy Award nominations. Nobody told me why." And the predominant thing I got back was, I didn't notice it. And we repented here, folks. We've done a lot of repenting here. If that's not the most foolish thinking in the world, I don't know what is. Satan surely has a grip on you if you're not noticing it. You're in deep trouble. Even the advertisers know what we see affects us. Do you understand? Do you realize that there's a conservative Jew who does seems to be more on our side than the pastors, who critiques movies, Michael Medved. And he wrote a book, Hollywood versus America. Hollywood's winning. Like Hollywood might have won. Anyway, he says that the advertisers, I mean, this guy's an expert on this stuff, the advertisers pay millions of dollars to get a particular product into the hand of a particular star at a particular time. And so Coke and Pepsi are literally outbidding each other to get something. You pick a name. I don't know them. Ha ha ha. I don't know them. And I'm not a dork. At least I don't think I'm a dork. Anyway, to get a Coke instead of a Pepsi or a Pepsi instead of a Coke. Millions of dollars, because people don't like just to give millions of dollars because they think it's cool, because sales go shooting. Because that's how it is. You want to be like him. You want to be like her. You want to be like him so you can get someone like her. You want to be like her so you can get someone like him. And he gives an example of a scene that's in the city. And there's some scene, whatever's going on in the city, and then the scene changes, and the camera goes up to a, you see it goes up to an apartment, you know, a big apartment building, and then it kind of goes into the, then you know you're going into the apartment, like through the window with the camera. And all you see is a bottle of Scope, S-C-O-P-E, it's green, Scope, on a nightstand. Well, not a nightstand, a bed, what do you call it, a table next to a bed.
I'll never doubt again.
And that's all you see. Whatever, everything else is blurry. Just the bottle of Scope. And then, you know, you do the lens, and Scope is blurry. And you see these two phenomenal bodies getting it on. Making love. Scope paid a lot of money for that scene. Because if you want to get your clothes off and get her clothes off or vice versa, you better put a little Scope in your mouth first. Now, Michael Medved says the advertisers know that seconds of Scope put this message in your mind and you can't get it out. Why is it that the heathen advertisers know that seconds of Scope will change your thinking, but Christians refuse to admit that many minutes of exposing yourself, which is against God's word, will do me any I don't even notice it. Sorry for you, Mr. Jaman. Sorry you're so weak. But don't put that on me. So many say it doesn't matter. God says it matters, by the way. I urge you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is a spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world. Don't be conformed to this world, God says. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know or prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I got to ask you a question. Do you care about what God says? Do you care about what God says? Apparently, obviously, it seems to me that most Christians don't. I am, and if any movie gets an Academy Award nomination, God help us. Because we feel obliged. How can our children, how can your children, escape the satanic assault on us when parents have already sold out, already compromised? You know, we need to repent. I got all my thing. I'll get back to that. Okay. Put it in new order. The great King Solomon did precisely what the Lord told him not to do. I want to tell you this. Do you know what the Lord told Solomon not to do? He told him not to do a few things. He said, Solomon, don't accumulate a lot of wives. He said, Solomon, don't marry a foreign woman. And he said, Solomon, don't rely on horses and chariots, silver and gold. Don't do it. So what did Solomon do? Solomon had more silver and chariots and horses than anybody else. Solomon had, get ready for this, 700 wives of royal birth from the Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, and other nations. He said it again, 700. If that wasn't enough for the old boy, he had 300 concubines.
Now, being a human being, I figured out, brilliant as I am, that if the man had sex every night of his life with a different woman, it would take him 3 years about to see the same face again. Solomon, in all his wisdom, rejected God's commands. He said, I'm Solomon. You gave me the wisdom. I can handle this. Solomon was wrong, and the rest is history. It's bad history. Solomon turned to other gods through the influence of his wives, and the entire nation was torn apart. Solomon did not take heed to God's command, and he fell. Are we greater than Solomon? Now, here's where I'm going to end this today, but right about here. As Solomon led an entire nation, and a matter of fact, I mean, look how it affected us. Look at everything, what Solomon did. As Solomon led, he was the leader of an entire nation, and he blew it. I don't want to hear click, 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 just because I said that, please. I believe it was just an accidental click. As Solomon was the leader of an entire nation, do you know what we are as uncles and aunts? You can be becoming uncles and aunts, and some of you are mothers and fathers, and maybe somebody's a grandfather or grandmother. We are the leaders of our families. Now, how can our children, how can you have escaped the satanic assault that Satan has on the church of God and the people of God when the people of God, the mothers and fathers, have sold out? My father is 80 years old. My father's friends are around 80 years old. My father's friends are not Christians. My father's friends, male and female, will not look at the movies that Christians look at. Just because of the cultural difference, it's not right. They don't know why it's not right, but it's not right. And yet, Christians sit down and watch what they won't watch. Christians have the word, they don't. Christians have the truth, they don't. Christians have the commands, they don't. Christians are in Christ, they are not. Christians watch, they don't. And parents sit down and have their kids and sit with their kids. Maybe your parents did. I'm just laying it on the line. Sold out. You know what's been like for me as a parent? I've got a 19-year-old who's in New Zealand. I can't wait for you to meet her. I can't wait for her to come back home. Charlotte, she's a sophomore. I've got 2 16-year-olds. I know what it's like. I know what it's like being at church. I know what it's like when the church youth group has sold out. I know what it's like when my kids are ostracized from a church youth group because they won't watch people take their clothes off and they're treated like idiots. I know what it's like to be a father and a husband in a church when I'm ostracized and I'm left out of things socially and otherwise in the church because I must make the other parents feel guilty. I know what it's like when my kids, 7, 8, 9 years old, are staying over someone else's house and they watch and other parents are having my kids watch naked people. And they hear God's name in a way they've never heard it. And they get up and they say, we're leaving. And they say, we can't watch this. And they said, why? And they said, well, my mommy and daddy said we can't. We shouldn't. And God's word said we shouldn't, so I can't. And we know what happens after that. And the last place my kids growing up ever wanted to be is church. Because they were Christians. They are Christians. I am a Christian. I love God. I follow God. God's word says this. I am a hypocrite, but I'm trying. I watch a commercial too long. You know, I'm not perfect. But goodness, I'm trying, and they were trying, and in church, the worst place we ever wanted to be, trying to be holy, is church. You know what it's like to have this conviction, and to hear pastor after pastor. You know why I go and preach this sermon in other places, in churches? And that church I told you about is every church. And everybody is like, in the South, properly horrified. Did I say that right? But in the North, they'd be ticked. And like, who is he to tell us? And you know why? You need 2 extra minutes. I'll tell you why. Because the pastors are constantly or frequently or occasionally, plenty of times, referring to the movies they've seen because they're hooked and they won't let go. And they said, like, it wasn't that movie when so-and-so did so-and-so. And I'm sitting there, and I know the movie, and I'm going to teach you about next week more about this and how to get yourself clean. I got such good news for you. This is the bag. I got such good news for you in these 2 weeks. Doesn't sound like good news, but it's good news. It's really good news. But you know what it's like sitting in a pew? And I've already, you know, the movies have come out, and I'm still like an idiot, still looking at them and seeing what the review is and going to what you're supposed to look at. We'll talk about that next week. And reading, you know, the nudity and the stuff that's in there. And I mean, it's a no-brainer now. We don't go. We don't go. We're God's people. We don't go. And you're sitting in there, and the pastor's up there referring to that movie. And all the people are going like this. Yeah, isn't the pastor cool? Isn't he relevant? And everybody is being blessed by the shepherd. And the sheep are being led by the shepherd. Do you understand that? And I'm coming to you with passion. In the name of the Lord. Whatever you do in your life, you wouldn't be here if you don't intend to be spiritual leaders. In the name of the Lord, I'm coming to you with passion. Begging you in the name of the Lord. Get your head out of the toilet bowl. Your head's in the toilet bowl. You just don't know it. You just think you're underwater. Well, if I can get your head out for a little while, you're going to find out where it's been, and you're going to be very embarrassed. Praise God. We'll stop here for today. We've got a lot more fun coming.